This podcast is brought to you by IFR Refresher, the monthly journal for instrument proficiency and currency.
Welcome to IFR Refresher's audio series. My name is Meredith Saney, editor. Today I'm speaking with Eric Anderson, spokesperson for Jeppesen. Hi, Eric. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sure. As you know, Eric, the April issue of IFR Refresher contains an article written by Fred Simons about how pilots can report errors that they discover in published instrument approach procedures. I was hoping that you might be able to shed some light on how Jeppesen handles these corrections. First, maybe you can give our listeners a primer on the types of products that Jeppesen offers for instrument pilots and some basic information on the Jeppesen publication cycle, both for printed instrument approach procedures as well as for the electronic versions of these procedures.
Sure, you bet. So Jeppesen is probably best known for the paper printed approach charts that come in the Brown Airway Manual binder. So that's, again, the legacy of the company, and it goes back 75 years to Captain Jeff himself. So yeah, that's probably what we're best known for. In recent years, the company has really been shifting to delivering more of that content electronically. So both the paper services and the electronic services generally update on a two-week cycle. So every 14 days, we'll either mail out an update or updates will be available for download for the electronic customers. With some of the more specialized services, they'll have a slightly different update schedule, but generally speaking, it's every 14 days for the charts. On the database side, which again, a lot of your readers probably have, you know, some kind of GPS system in their airplane that they utilize, and for that to be used for IFR flying, we need to have that updated every 28 days. So per the industry so-called ARAC cycle, We publish that database every 28 days. And then beyond that, some of the other products that we get into, flight planning systems, both online and desktop PC flight planning systems.
Okay, great. So let's say that a pilot who subscribes to either your print or electronic publications discovers an error in an instrument approach procedure published by Jeppesen. What should the pilot do, and what is Jeppesen's process for making any corrections that they agree are warranted?
Sure. So the first thing that typically happens is the customer is routed through his or her normal contact channels. So that could be anything from the retail sales for business and general aviation to, if we're talking about the airline side, an individual airline account representative, to our 24/7 global support and control center, which is located here at our headquarters in Denver, Colorado. So that those functions serve as a tier one type of function for the customer to report the problem, and then if it is indeed or does appear to be an error or something wrong with the database, then that issue will be escalated to what we call a tier two team. And that the Tier 2 team is made up of some very highly experienced specialists, a lot of whom come from the production side of our business. So they know how the charts and the database are produced, and so they're very well versed in how our data works with the database and charting specifications. In short, kind of the experts at Jeppesen in charts and databases. So the Tier 2 folks will get the background from the customer and then, again, work through their processes to either resolve the problem or, in many cases, and again, it's about 70% of the cases they get escalated to Tier 2, don't actually require correction. And oftentimes in those cases, it turns out to be more of an education process with the customer and not an actual correction required. In the 30% of the cases that do require a correction, then that Tier 2 team will forward the information on to our production staff and make sure that those corrections get out there in the field, again, either in the form of an updated database for the next cycle or an updated chart, again, for the subsequent cycle is typically how it works. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the Tier 2 team follows up with the reporting customers to make sure we close the loop there and get everything covered.
Sure. Could you maybe give us a little more insight as to what the process is like by that Tier 2 team? So let's say they discover that it's a real problem. What do they actually do? What are some of the things that they might do, I guess, if they discover there's a real problem? Do they have to go out and survey the area? Do they work with the FAA at all? What sorts of things does that team do?
Yeah, so the research phase of what they do does involve a lot of going back and looking at the source documents that we receive from FAA and again just about every other aeronautical agency around the world. And seeing how that change on the chart evolved or that update to the database evolved and getting some idea of what happened and why that error went out the door. And then a lot of the research is done, not generally the Tier 2 team isn't working directly with the government agencies, but it's more internal research on what happened with that chart or database issue.
Mm-hmm. So when an approach gets developed by the Terpster people at the FAA, let's say a new WAAS approach is developed somewhere, so now that approach is published and becomes available, there will be a Jeppesen version of that and there will be an ACO version of that. At what point is it possible for an error to develop on one side or the other or both? Can you give our readers a little insight as to from the point that the approach is developed and the everything is laid out, how do some of these errors develop sometimes as revisions are made?
Well, when we receive source information again from the FAA or any other provider around the world, we're using that to create the charts and create the databases that then that we produce for our customers. And NACO does the exact same thing for the U.S., obviously, on the chart side. So we'll receive the official FAA source information and then apply it to the charts and database. So, there are occasions when the source that we receive from various government agencies may contain an error, and we identify that and go back and work with those agencies to get the source information corrected. If an error goes out on a charter database side, there's a whole host of things that can happen there. I mean, bottom line, it's humans working in this environment, and we have very very stringent quality control standards, and very very quality conscious of the work that we do on the charts and database, but. Sometimes things happen and we miss things and they go out with an error. So, it can just range from, transposing a number or misinterpreting the source information or just missing the information that comes in on the source. But, bottom line is sometimes humans make mistakes and even with all of our quality control steps, something might escape.
Right. So assuming the error is caught, let's say it was something similar to the typographical error that was used as the example in the article. A runway number was flip-flopped on the profile view of the approach. It gave the one end of the runway instead of the correct end of the runway as the missed approach point. If something like that is discovered, let's say in the first iteration or in the first revision cycle of an approach that Jeppesen publishes, given that your revision cycle is so short, would you ever all have any impact on the NOTAM process? In other words, or would it just be a note that would get sent out to all your subscribers? How would that be communicated to the subscriber?
So we have a group here that works on our chart specifications, and as part of that, they set up specifications on when something is processed for revision and when something is covered in our chart notices. So it kind of depends on what the issue is. If it's something that that requires us to reissue the chart, then again, typically what happens is the next available revision date, that chart will be updated and again, sent out to the customers, or same thing on the database side, the change will be picked up in the next database cycle, or in some cases included in the NAV data alerts that we put out. So it really just depends on the nature of the issue and you know, when the next update cycle becomes available, whether or not we just reissue the information or make it available in a chart update or NAV data notice.
Sure. So is it advisable for Jeppesen customers to, let's say, check your website before making an IFR flight to see if there's any changes, mid-cycle changes to something they have, similar to how, a pilot using the NACO charts would want to see if there's a NOTAM indicating any change to a publication that they have?
Yeah, absolutely. And just like any flight where you're checking NOTAMs, we always suggest that the customers check the chart change notices and the NAV data alerts if they are using a GPS system with our database in it. And again, those are made available on our website, or the chart customers, the chart change notices are sent out as part of the revision. So those actually come in a paper format if it's a paper subscriber, or again, posted as PDFs on our website. But yeah, absolutely, those should always be checked before a flight.
Okay, good. Well, we'll be sure to put the link to that in the link for this on avweb.com. And thank you very much for your time today, Eric. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for including me, and I appreciate talking to you.
Sure.
This podcast has been brought to you by IFR Refresher. For more on IFR Refresher, log on to www.belvoir.com.